Blog Talk Radio.
Janupa Guhamani is on with us today, and he's going to be hosting the show. So, Janupa, are you on?
Yes, I am. Great to have you.
It's all yours.
Thank you. Mitakefi Tokel, everyone that calls in, I'm going to share this in Lakota. Introduce yourselves on tonight's show. And, you know, we can begin. I'm not going to know who's all there. My sister can't be able to hear anything until you guys, you know, introduce yourselves. And I'm going to start off with the opening prayer. And this is our show for the Lakota people to talk about issues that are happening surrounding Indian country. So here's our opening prayer. Okahe, Tonkashilo Akantanka, Lechatu Ake, Chanupagluha Mani Mecha Chokata Nazina, Wahochiche, Katia Topa Isham, Wamakaska Inita Hampiki, Wolak Hot Echeske Wahochichapi, Tatanko Oyate, Echak Oyate, Sinte Sapala, Nawambli Oyate, Hena, Kolachiapi, Ahito Apo, Wonakun Wocheke Kilehuchichapi. Nawankata kia wakantanka kichi manete. Ampetu kile wopila tanki e chichie. Daku lena iwung lakokte. Hena echa luaste eagana kikte. Na eta ho oate glena waksapi wanzi ichukte. Na unchi makhaki anagopte akpapik. Unchi nahaksi oate glila ioti ekiap. Kakishap hunk wichoni ekignapa. Na wakanki lila kakishapi as iniasne. Okhola kiche kile chantet hiz hen nakhchi oyate ki oichake. O chip khai won kichu na unkai ta po akele chus e. Daku washte I wong lak ok de nie chetka ho chik de cho. Wo chekile wakache ki oyate khata ha to na hoch op hakte ki na lu washte e chagna ka. Am petu kile chante o ashte wa ho chik u chu kya pie. Ho metaki epi. That's our prayer for everyone that's listening. It's a Lakota prayer of calling out the great mystery, calling out Grandmother Earth and all our brothers and sisters of the four directions, the buffalo, the elk, the spotted tail people, and the eagle, and ourselves. And I ask the great mystery to give us the strength so we can share all this truth of knowledge of what's happening within our own reservation known as Turtle Island, which white people call America. So, without any further delay, I'm going to, you know, open up for questions. And if anybody has something they want to share on their mind, go right ahead and introduce yourselves when you call in. Okay, begin.
My name is Bernice Seminole, and I'm Northern Arapaho. And so I'm just here to support Chinupa and Jenny with the many issues that they discuss over air.
Great having you with us tonight.
Thank you.
And this is Jenny calling in from Northwest Montana, from the Pekuni Reservation, which is they call Blackfeet. Well, I'm here just to listen in and share as much as I understand what's going on up this way.
Wow, that's beautiful that two of these sisters are on tour. You know, I'm going to start off with a little opening segment. You know, for the past few days, I've been stepping up, you know, a little further than most people claim to be. But a lot of warrior societies are out there, and then one in particular is the American Indian Movement. I made the American Indian Movement, and many others have made the American Indian Movement, too, when they were part of it, from Mount Rushmore to Wounded Knee, and many other incidents where AIM was, you know, protocol for getting things done, even in the Custer riot back in the early part of the 70s, before 73 took place. And so what I wanted to express as an open intent was that a lot of people out there that claim to be warriors for Native people, listening audience, really pay attention to this. There are people out there that claim to be people that serve people in need, such as elders, children, disabled people, the people in general that live in poverty, that are very, you know, unorthodoxly intoned to stuff that they can't pick up to defend themselves or even help themselves. So what I'm getting at is enough of this, you know, racial bigotry of describing yourself as warriors and leaders of a propaganda that serves people. And I'm throwing this to the American Indian movement, the St. Francis people in St. Francis, South Dakota. I'm getting sick and tired of Mr. Richard Keith Hyatt exposing himself in a sense that he's showing gratitude and gratification to people in his community and the reservation of the Rosebud Sioux Reservation. I disagree. I'm constantly trying to get on his radio show to express more of an open involvement because he used to reside here in Pine Ridge. And unfortunately, he didn't do anything to help people. I don't want to hear stories that people promote themselves for. And if he wants to have a debate with it, I'm sure we can get together any place, any time, and make it happen because my phone number is 605-517-1547, and my other phone number is the same area code and prefix, 605-517-2621. And I'm the leader of the Strongheart Warrior Society. I'm Chanupa Gluha Money. My Uncle John Yellowhorse was on his radio show, but Uncle Johnny don't know English too well. And I expressed that as an open intent because I want Uncle Johnny to come on our radio show here with Sister Leona as we continue to carry on the messages of what's going on in Indian country. So with that said, off to my chest, Mr. Ayat, if you're out there listening, do call Chanupa, 605-517-1547. And the second number is area code 605-517-2621. I want to have a challenge of a debate with you in good intentions. And wherever you want to take it, I'm willing for either one. I'm getting tired of all the lying and the negativity you're putting out there. And you're discouraging people, young man. If you're really a Lakota warrior like you say, act like it. Put the people first. And without any further delay, I return it back to the other sisters that are on board. Thank you.
We have a couple more that have called in. If you want to say your name, please.
My name is Mark Blackrow, Blackford and Grovon from Montana, but I'm calling out of Salem, Oregon right now. And I'm just listening so
glad
far.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Welcome. We have another caller. You haven't introduced yourself yet.
The other caller, can you introduce yourself? Or maybe you are Richard Hyatt, man.
Yeah. This is Joe Welks in Moxon, Montana.
All right. Begin. It's open to everybody. Begin, somebody.
Well, I've got a statement about what you said previously about the American Indian Movement, Chanupa, because last week there was a talk show, and the gentleman who led that show monopolized the entire airtime and really didn't give anybody a chance to say what was on their mind or to bring up issues, and I thought that was pretty disheartening because we're all supposed to come to this table and we're all supposed to talk and we're all supposed to bring up these issues that affect Native American country, but that never happened. He monopolized the entire airtime and he calmly, like, put people down in a good way, and that shouldn't have happened. Because that leaves the white community out there to think that we're nothing but a bunch of badgering idiots with nothing but discontent and disharmony, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So I was really disappointed in that talk show last week.
You know, if I may ascertain a question to that, you know, that's greatly, you know, appreciated that you brought it on air. You know, most radio shows are supposed to lead by the example of how how a disc jockey implements its, you know, chain of command by, you know, orchestrating a radio show in commonwealth of good intentions for people to be heard and get, you know, what's on their mind, you know, dispersed to people that want to hear what's happening within the surrounding, you know, country, states, reservation, neighborhoods, etc. what I always find very interesting that, you know, and I can say this, and I'll stand the ground to it. I was two important figures in the American Indian movement's personal bodyguards, the late Russell Means and the late Lyman Brighton. Both of these two great leaders, I stood for them, protected them, and did things courageously to help them express more of the open intents, what they were talking about, because every person that said that they would follow the American Indian Movement and the United Native Americans, because the UNA was led by Lyman Brightman, way before AIM had a pedestal in doing things for Native people. My point that I was raising about, to answer your question, you're exactly right. A lot of the people implement the American Indian Movement like they were the people that created stuff for Indian people to grow their hair long and all this and so forth. That might be true to some that just got on board. But I've been there with them. As I've told you all, I said I was Russell and Lehman's personal bodyguards, and that's true. That's still on record. So when the American Indian Movement, and I'm not going to sabotage them for any type of figure of speech, what I'm going to say directly to them, and if somebody can relate to them, they need to get their characteristics and their involvement real seriously in tone for the rest of the people. You cannot run a radio show without anybody. And I'm not trying to sound like I'm bogarting this radio show either. What I'm saying is to help people in the listening audience understand that there are people that still work for the federal system in the name of any name or organization that does not promote honesty of people without language. And that's how it was formed many, many years ago from the Black Panthers. No offense to them, because I've knew the late Stokely Carmichael, who turned his name into, you know, African name, Kwame Ture. I knew Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the third, Johnny Mack. I knew Empress Chi. I knew a lot of people in the black movement that supported the Black Panthers. Angela Davis came out here, was a good friend to my grandmother, my late grandmother, Cecilia Martin, when grandmother was one of the leading grandmothers for the American Indian Movement. She was one of the original AIM grandmothers who passed away back in 2017. And I always speak highly about my grandmother because she's the one that told my grandpa and Chinupa himself at the age of 13 to go and support them Native people, which were called AIM at that time, to go in there and make a stand to protect people that were struggling against rights that were being abused by the police department, the FBI, and every type of social democracy that was affecting Indian people. And the Black Panther Party even served us in the American Indian Movement when we were in Wounded Knee. And thanks to them, because I talk highly about all of the participation of people of color that served us. Even the Brown Berets, they served us in there. John Escamilla, if you're listening out there, if you're still with us on Earth, hey, I'll never forget about you being in Wounded Knee with your brother, Chinupa. Me and John were youngsters at that time. And John was only 10. I was 3 years older than my brother, John Escamilla. So I'm going to wheel it back to you, and I answered your best question as I could, man, Bernice. I really thank you for opening that question up. So I'll wheel it back to the people. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, what you guys are talking about with that radio station with this Richard Ayat, well, I'm the one that invited Bernice onto it, and I invited Etta onto it, and even my son, and I believe Josh went on there one time. And the thing about it is they all went on there one time, and they felt the same way about that, the whole show, because of, he rattles on too long about things, and just like Bernice said, you know, he controls the whole thing like that, you know. But you're never going to get nothing out of it. He don't really talk real about anything, and then he talks like nobody's doing anything. Well, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Exactly what I heard too. Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, Jenny.
Mm-hmm. Our grandfather has been doing these battles way before us. Huh? And a lot of us are doing the same thing as them. We feel and understand this world the same way as them. We will never accept the white way, you know, because that's what's destroying everything. They don't want us to be smarter than them, which we are. But even ourselves, we don't understand how smart we are at times, too. And it's true, yeah, a lot of us lost the language, but there's, you know, stories behind it, what happened. A lot of the grandparents just want to teach their children their language because of the abuse that happened to them.
Exactly. Yep. Same way with my mother.
What's going on today? You know, we all understand. I hope we do. You know, we learned enough English to understand. But still, you know,
yeah,
what's
so,
the answer to it?
So back to that radio show last week. Like I was telling you on the, you know, the phone, and we were visiting last week, I was sharing with you that I felt like issues weren't being brought up in Indian country that really affect us. And, you know, he didn't give people a chance to come forward with their concerns, or maybe there was a thought or an expression they wanted to share on that show. So none of that ever happened. And how are you ever going to get our people to unite if he monopolizes airtime and talks loud and says nothing? There's absolutely no conversation, no topic that he talked about last week that ever touched any of these issues in Indian country. And I was pretty disappointed because he's supposed to call himself a leader. And if you're a leader and a leader to your own people, then why aren't important issues being brought up? Because we have people, we have organizations on every single reservation across this country that take away our children, and they place them off the reservation. You have children in foster care that get sexually abused. None of these topics were talked about. None of these topics were even brought up. So how is he going to be a leader? And I don't mean to bash him, but how are you going to call yourself a leader if you're not advocating for the people? Because that's his purpose as a leader, to advocate for your people. And I didn't hear that happening.
Well, remember, Bernice, remember at the rally that we had in Great Falls, Montana, how that lady, she seems to be the president, Montana AIM president. I can't remember her name. Debbie McShane. And she didn't even stay there all the way through. You know, I thought that's what they, you know, when they come, they listen to the people's, you know, concerns and issues and their demands. You know, that's what they're supposed to stand for. But why did she leave? She didn't even stay long. So what?
Well, she didn't even get up there and talk, period. I seen.
Yeah, I told you right there, we don't need AIM. We never did need AIM up this way. The people always did it themselves. There was many protests taking over the office on our reservation. The people did that. You know, even though they called in, you know, other forces to come in. But, you know, all of that was, you know, because the people were tired. They were tired of it, you know. Our own corrupt business councils and stuff too. But we never needed AIM to come and help.
Well, I always heard from people, other people in Indian country, that the lady who presents herself as AIM, that Debbie McShane, they said there was a lot of controversy behind her. Now, I've never had the opportunity to meet her. I've never had the opportunity to talk to her. But from what I seen at that rally in Great Falls, she did absolutely nothing. She came, I've got pictures of her and her children, but
yeah,
if you're a leader, why aren't you up there talking about women issues in Native American country, all across this nation? I didn't hear her say anything. And we have a lot of issues. We have MMIW issues all over this country where our women are murdered, they're sex trafficked, but I didn't hear her get up and say any of that. I didn't hear her touch on anything. So these leaders in this country, if they're going to call themselves leaders, then they need to get a grip on reality and hold those reins. They need to start talking about things that matter to our people, because we're the ones that are fighting. We're the ones that are struggling. All of these issues, they affect all of us. It's just not one person nationwide. As federally recognized enrolled members of any tribe, it affects us all. But I didn't hear her get up and say anything. So I'm pretty disappointed in the leadership.
Let me kind of jump in here for a brief section between the two of you and many others that are listening. You know, over a course of history, people in general, and I'm referring to people in general, when we took the streets or when we took over a building or when we really demonstrated because of human rights issues, we gave people an opportunity to sit in office jobs, to be people that were operating radio shows and news outlets and so forth, becoming media folks and whatnot. People like us that were little, that took the streets and went to jail, that made positions for people in the mainstream to have an opportunity to be represented, be recognized, and be heard because of what we went through in the times of showing what struggles were really vested upon. And I agree with the two of you expressing that value of an understanding because it is of value. But when the rest of society doesn't really see the issue. See, Americans are good at this. And if it offends people that really support the American, you know, behavior, the American white think, the American, you know, racist, you know, attitude, you know, Caucasian's way of dehumanizing people of color, hey, man, that's on you, and I'm ready for that, too. But what I'm referring to this all on is because before a country ever had a false identification and a false name, it had its own existence, and it had its own acceptance where many, many languages were here in the continent of Turtle Island or the Island Hill. So for indigenous people in our own country, we knew how to practice and perfect the issues that pertained to us because we were free, no different than our brothers and sisters in the African continent and our brothers and sisters down in Mexico in the continent of Little Sisters Land, which people call Spaniards. They were indigenous people too. So in reference to that, our people need to generally start going back to our understanding as a philosophical way of dealing with what we have done in the past and in present today, 2020. As the year comes to an end, we will begin another, you know, year, which is going to be 2021. And you will see the nature and the dynamics that we've been encountering that are serving our people. And let me tell you, folks, the great mystery has never left us. And the reason why I know that is because when the Red Cry documentary came out in honor of people that were being abused, as the sister Bernice had mentioned about our kids being abducted and placed in non-native foster care families, a lot of us had experienced that because of what America's, you know, did to the times of when relocation began and when they used their colonial policies to strip families and break families into an existence. That's how pilgrimage became public law, and it took away the rights of humanity. Don't ever forget what the black people went through. Our black brothers and sisters, don't ever forget Willie Lynch, how that man used those control purposes to neutralize our black people. And to this day in 2020, our black brothers and sisters have lost their connection to their language from the continent of Africa. And I really, really get angry when my black folks, man, you know, are struggling with that because now that they adapted American, you know, attires culture, they turned against one another when, in fact, they were a together people. When they first came here, don't forget the first 19 that arrived here. They struggled to remain free with the language. And that's how, you know, a lot of the brothers and sisters today in the African community are still trying to regain that popular identity where they became a free people. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to wheel it back to you girls again. Don't forget our brother, George Floyd. when the white race made him cry out for his mother, white man, your day of judgment and reckoning is coming. It's here. And you're going to pay for what you did to our brother George. So, sisters, I will it back to you. I thought I'd answer that in appropriate fashion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because when that happened to him, man, you know, and it would make you cry because you think, you know, if that was your son, you know, yeah, it would have been different if the mother was there, you know? Mm-hmm. And if they worked together, then wouldn't that tell you that that guy knew who he was and what? Hmm? Is that, you know, the real story of it? If they worked together in the same club, then he knew who he was. And, you know, was it done because of hate, jealousy, or who was it, you know? Was it racial? It could have never happened.
Well, I got a comment about that, and it all goes back to systematic racism, because you're talking about law enforcement. I used to work in law enforcement. I don't anymore. What I seen, okay, this is how it happened. A year ago, September, my grandson and I were down in Riverton, Wyoming, and we heard like firecrackers go off, and we didn't pay attention. So then when we got done with my appointment, we drove across the street to Walmart, and we see cop cars and people all standing around. Well, then I'm looking, and there's a body laying on the ground. And this is how it all got started, because I put on my Facebook page the anger of what I seen. And forgive me if I cry, because that was my own cousin that was laying there. A Riverton, Wyoming police officer shot and killed my cousin in front of Walmart last year for no reason. And I'm here to talk about that racism, because it angers me. It angers me to hell, and I have every right as a family member to be angry. But I've seen the racism. I've seen the favoritism. I've seen the cover-up. And I'm not afraid to say cover-up. So this police officer allegedly said that Andy Antelope had stabbed him with a knife. Well, I was there. I didn't see a knife. I took a picture. There's no knife there. So how did that knife get there? Planted? I don't know. Perhaps. But this police officer has training. I worked in correctional facilities. I know the kind of training that we're all supposed to go through in order to handle people that are belligerent, that are downright rude, that are racist, that are violent, that are aggressive. There's every training possible at your fingertips to de-escalate a situation. All of the things that this police officer learned, he did not, at one time, go through his de-escalation techniques. When you're taught de-escalation techniques, you're supposed to, one, observe the body language, the stance, the inflection of their voice. You're supposed to assess that situation to determine which avenue you're going to take in order to de-escalate that situation. Well, this police officer just decided to shoot and kill Andy. He didn't bother to try to de-escalate the situation any other way. there's verbal de-escalation. You know, he could have used mace, whatever it was, but he didn't have to use that gun, and he didn't have to kill Andy point-blank range. That should have never happened. That should have been the very last option, but that was used as a first option, was to shoot and kill Andy, and that should have never happened. And I'm so beside myself to this day because that police officer was promoted a year later. Nobody knew. Nobody understood Andy was mentally disabled. He was physically disabled. So how is a police officer going to come and shoot a man that can't even defend himself? That doesn't even know what day today is.
Was he in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
Bernice?
He was, yeah,
he was in
a
wheelchair.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
And so that's the systematic racism I want to talk about since everybody, you know, that subject of law enforcement came up because that still bothers the hell out of me. And I don't understand why our tribal council doesn't get involved. The Native American lady that's elected in state office, why she doesn't handle this situation of racism in that town of Riverton, Wyoming, for our people. Why isn't anybody advocating on behalf of our people so that this doesn't happen again in the future? So what kind of training do they need? Do they need cultural training, cultural sensitivity? Because when I worked in corrections, we had to have that. So maybe this is something that they need to practice. So I wish Lavina had called in because this is her brother. I don't know if she's on the air. Lavina, are you on the air? So these are the kind of things that are happening to our people. Our people are being shot and killed for no reason. Absolutely no reason at all. You have a man who's physically disabled, mentally disabled, and he was shot and killed, and he was wheelchair bound. Where's the justice in that? So
I
keep hammering away at this issue every chance I get.
Can I step in for 1 minute?
Yes, step in. Step
in. This is Fiona. You know, what she just talked about reminded me of that Daryl Rainey from Florida, the mentally ill prisoner whom the guards put in a shower stall and locked the stall and turned the water up to 180 degrees and scalded that man to death.
Oh.
And they prisoners on the block all over could hear that man screaming for his life. And they kept him in that shower stall until the skin and muscle, everything deteriorated, withdrew from the bones. This is not a lack of training. What happens in this country, and I think this country is about the only country that has this kind of mentality. They get their entertainment from doing these kinds of things. And when they do something like that, that's not a man. That's not a woman. That is pure cowards, a bunch of illiterate cowards that were raised like animals. You know, when I see and hear about things like this, I look at the person that does it, and I look back on the type of bringing up they had. And their mothers and fathers had to be a piece of crap, cheap, ignorant, low lives, that taught their kids to hate that much, that they would do something like that. I just had to say that because we live in a country. You know, when I pray, I look up at the sky. I look at nature. I look at the beautiful trees with the red leaves and the yellow and the orange and all these beautiful colors. I look at the blue sky. I look at the blue oceans and the lake. And then I wonder, how in the world can people talk about other colors when, if we look at this world as being all white, what is it all about? There's no beauty in it. There's no nothing in it. So if a white man thinks that they should rule the world, just like making America great again, all whites. Why don't they go back to their own countries where they feel they can be amongst all of themselves? I don't understand this. Why would they want to be in the United States when they can be in their own country of all whites if that's what they're looking for? But to abuse somebody that bad, to make entertainment on going after people, on hanging people, mm-hmm. on scalding people to death, on killing them with no for no reason at all, that bothers me. That really does. And I'll tell you another thing. When people talk about blacks and browns, they have to remember the reds and the beige. Because one of the things is we are all people of color. The beige, the red, the blacks, the browns. And I hear too many people talking about Black Lives Matter. We need to talk about black, brown, red, and beige lives matter. Because we are all being affected by that white animalistic culture. And I'm going to bow out. Somebody just came on. Who is, oh, would you please state your name?
Etta Arviso from the Netka, from Navajo Nation.
Hey, glad to have you on board. Come on, man. Jump in somewhere and express yourself. Thank you for your introduction. Begin to any conversation that you heard on how our sisters and brothers were being, disrespected and, lives taken from them and so forth and families hurt by this. Wherever you feel there's a need to jump in, go right ahead. And thank you, man, for coming on board tonight. Thank you.
Very, very well said. That's exactly very true what's going on. And out in our area here, when you drive to take care of things, all these businesses have all kinds of flags and, Trump flags, and it just makes you very uncomfortable to go walk into the store because it shouldn't even be on their stores and whatever they're doing, whatever they're selling, and it just really brought everybody out to where what they think they see, because all the Indian tribe had co-talkers. And here, I'm like, doggone it, it's about damn time they're waving the damn flag, because that flag would have hit bottom if it wasn't for our land, which is what our Navajo co-talkers, our fathers and grandfathers used to tell me. And they said, that's why you have every right to speak, because we save a lot of people's life throughout United States, or they would not be here.
I agree with you, Etta, because I believe that our warriors in the beginning of time that were still, back in the time of the horse, those were the true veterans of this country. They really were. I don't care what anybody says. They were the true veterans of this country.
Yep, they were the true warriors because, we were taken, our tribe was taken, with the Mescalero Apache prisoner of war and been kept at Fort Sumner for years and being released and then come back to our homeland. And, the government, United States government asked, to have the Indian tribes to have to join the war because there's war. And I have a grandpa that is a World War II U.S. Navy that was there at the time everything happened. And he is right now 98 years old. And he still looks very good and very healthy. And
awesome.
And we have Mr. John Kinzel, which lives in Lukechuk, Arizona, and he's 98 years old. And, I've I took these men and drove them where they needed to go. And, you know, they really, really talked a lot about what is now and how to better appreciate your life and take care of yourself. And you know, not even one darn time did anybody ever build a decent home for them. They never got any sort of assistance because United States is United States and you're on, you know, tribal land and these jurisdictions, all kinds of excuses, you know, that comes up that some of these men never, you know, and I talked to the Hickory, our neighborly Hickory Apache warriors over there, World War II veterans, that told me they were told to go and then they'll, you know, and they left their sheep, their cattle, their horses. When they come back, that they would replace them for them. And one grandpa told me that, he said, I served in World War II and that those sheep, my livestock, that was never replaced to this day. And, you know, that's a disrespect. And not ever will anybody will talk about any Indian tribe. All I heard is Black Lives Matter. All I heard is, you know, other Asian people and all these Hispanic, but not. I never heard not one darn word of Indian tribes, Indian nation. And, you know, that pisses me off because they're the people. They are the man now that, you know, United States says Veterans Day is coming up. And, you know, they're the reason why all our co-talkers from different tribes are the reason why everybody gets to sleep well. Everybody gets to go wherever they want. They protected their families, the people's life. And they were told to zip up, not to even tell anybody they were co-talkers. And they missed out on a lot of benefits. So to our brother, any branch of service you served out there, I always tell them, thank the grandpas, thank the some grandmas even served in World War II in our area, and there was some that were that never came home. That was killed in action. So that's how I know, you know, working with these fathers and mothers that were served in the war and ported, and some of us Hallwoods, some of them have running water. So we did whatever we could to put in our effort to give back because of how we live and what we can share. So I just want to share that.
You know, for our sister down in Diné country, that was so awesome. This is why we say this constantly. There are many Native American shows, and I'm going to use that as a paraphrase to identify it. There are Native American shows that are on Blog Talk Radio that never, ever give the issue its light to expand and amplify the issues that they've experienced from past and present situations that are occurring today. And she's right about one thing. When Black Lives Matter took off and began, you know, as a scenario to show the people's, you know, involvement of how they were being subjugated and abused and murdered and so forth, you know, every person of color in Indian country, and again, folks, people call it America, United States, it's called Indian country, regardless. And if people want to date, you know, debate with me on that, let's do it. You all have my phone number. I'll say it at the end of the show. But in reality, I want to share this more openly. Long time ago, just like the Diné sister had expressed her involvement, my grandfather, Roy Stanislaus Martin, was a marksman in the United States Navy. And he was in the First World War.
And my grandfather taught me a lot of understandings about how our Native servicemen were being ridiculed and used in a purpose that didn't define their own identity and existence. So when World War One kicked off, they opened that opportunity to see that, hey, the language that these Americans had, which was clearly, you know, stated English that was been raped from acronyms, they used people of color to become those type of voices to break codes to show where the enemy was and how to get to the enemy. And don't forget the black squadrons, too, because you just like she said, yeah, everyone talks about the black issues. Well, there was also a Native squadron, a squadron of pilots. You'll never hear about it, but they, too, were in the Korean conflict. The Native pilots, on the other hand, did more of a contribution for the Korean veterans. Why? Because they went directly to the source of the enemy. And that's how they paved that opportunity to go into and get behind enemy lines. And a lot of them pilots that were indigenous, they never came back. A very few did. So the point that I'm raising, it really makes my heart feel good when people like even Sister Leona talking about the death of the individual in Florida. Remember this, too. Casey Anthony, this little white girl that was found missing in her so-called neighborhood. Her own mother killed her. Don't ever forget that. She was a Caucasian lady, killed her own child. And she got away with murder. You see, this is how America works. You see, American people use people of color. And we have to collectively get that consciousness well established and awakened in our hearts to understand the nature of how white people act and behave. The white man, according to my grandfather, and now it's according to Chanupa Gluhamani, the white man is a two-legged devil disguised as a human being. And I'm saying that with an open heart, because everything white people do is bad. There's nothing honorable that says a white man had done something courageously to leave people alone. And that's the purpose that people don't want to express because, oh, we have a white friend here, we have a white sister here. Nah, screw all that. The white man is continuously trying to get rid of people of color. And we all need to collectively have our consciousness well aware of what they're doing, systematically or otherwise. And so when brothers and sisters do implement more of a challenge. And I'm looking at it this way because I'm the only brother on the show tonight. With all you sisters, that I'm so gratefully honored by that, because here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, I still serve my grandmothers. I still serve my daughters. I still serve the people, no matter what color creed they are. I serve them. And when ladies like yourself come on tonight's show and express what you're experiencing, what you have gone through, what your people have gone through, that hardens my heart to continue to tell my sister, Leona, that we love your show, sister. We thank you ever so much from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us this time and opportunity to have a show that reflects to indigenous issues. And so with answering that question very openly, I'm going to wheel it back to all you ladies, because this is a great show tonight. I'm very happy with it. Thank you all for listening to Chanupa.
Thank you, Chanupa. Yeah, it's very true what you're saying, Leona, because all of the ones that are on the show tonight besides Josh, he is doing something else that he couldn't be on, but next week he'll be on. But see, they're all the ones that said that they didn't like the other show that we were talking about. This show is the one that they like. And Earthflash is not on either tonight. So they all have, you know, the same understanding and feeling about the show that we were talking about. Not talking about, but had concerns about. They all like your show, Leona. I don't think she heard you.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Hello?
I was on mute. I want to thank you for your statement, and I was saying you. I think you need a couple of shows to talk about all the issues that are going on in the Lakota country and all over. Friday doesn't seem to be enough, though. Maybe Tanuka and I can talk about that another time, or Jenny. Someone else came on to you. Please state your name.
Hello.
Yes, your name.
Oyate Ota.
Hey, Oyate, great to have you on board. This is one of our leaders of the Independent Nation people down in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Go right ahead, Oyate. Begin.
Oh, I don't know what I just tuned in just a minute ago. Finally got your number, and I don't know what you're talking about this evening.
Okay, let me refresh you real briefly. The issue on tonight's show is about Indian issues and the things that you encountered, the things you might be involved in, the current situation, and otherwise. And you being a past Wounded Knee veteran like me, your brother Chinupa, express where you want to go with this. One of the things I will say to the listening audience, independence is the ticket. And if we all can get back into independence, we can free ourselves of this captivity that we're all in. And I know we can, because living proof that I and myself and my brother Oyate Ota is doing the same thing. So, Oyate, begin wherever you want. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're right. You know, independence is the is really the ideal situation that you want to be in. And I know a lot of probably most of the tribes within the United States really can't achieve that or even attempt it because they don't have any grounds for it. But the Lakota does.
Mm.
You know, and like I've always been saying since way back in 1972, that our main grounds for independence is the fact that they forged that 1868 treaty. And there's evidence of that. And, you know, when they did that, when they forged that treaty, they invalidated it. And so, you know, this has never been contested. You know, Jennifer, you have that 40-page legal dossier that outlines every case ever presented concerning the 1868 treaty and the Black Hills claim and going back to the doctrine of discovery. But the fact that this forgery took place, it's never been contested. You won't find it in any of those cases. Nobody's ever brought it up. And nobody knows about this because of the fact that it was never really made public except for maybe a very short period of time where I happened to locate that document. And then it disappeared. And so nobody knows about this, not even the attorneys that are handling these cases. If they did, they would bring it up. They would, you know, take it into court, make a case out of it. But nobody has done that. So we have a case. Like a lot of other tribes, they don't have a case. And, you know, also there's also the fact that all of those provisions in that 1868 treaty were all violated, every single one of them. And so you can incorporate that into it as well. And, you know, there may be even other claims that you could make in that regard, too. You know, independence is definitely something that looks
to be possible for the Lakota. And so that's why we're pursuing this. And, you know, that's not the only reason. You know, there's other reasons for wanting to be independent. You know, you want to control your own destiny. You want to control your own penal system. You want to control your own laws. All of these things. And that's what the people deserve. And so that's, you know, that's why we're pursuing this. So I think you're probably just about at the end of your show. And so, you know, I'll turn this back over to Chinupa.
You know, that is greatly, greatly, you know, addressed, you know, from the human rights, you know, collective of the rights that our people have. You know, Mitaki Epi, and bear with me on this part here. I'm going to explain something to you all in Lakota. And I'm not taking up your spaces, women, okay? I'm going to put you guys back on the air again, real fast. Mitaki Epi, le wonach unkile oyateki, le chala taku iwogalaka, okay, hena iyechetu. Tokata kia wakantaka ki chi maneto unchi makaki lena wanspeki. Huto pa ki hena toke wichaku. Ho hena wo kiki henya ke. Wana wo sutaki le mila hanska ki kaka. Hena owa pi ieche. Dos ke hena kwa lakota na oyate unki tropi dos ki wichaku okte ki hena egna tapi. Ho hena iehuni psni. Was ake kanki ke na hanksi oyate hena oispa pi ke. He wo lakota etchet ke nazipi. Ho hena yanke chawak khat khaka ki chi mane to na uchi ma kha ki lena wa ma khaska hena wicho kha ki wichaku na hak si wa ma khaska ki hena upi mita ki ho hena wala kokte to ha wo che ki wji aka ki is yo tia ki na ha pe ji khot ya tu na azil wi cha ha ta dok sha hena wala kokte ho heta ha lechus e wa na yes ka wan. What I said in the language of Lakota for the listening audience, the great mystery gave us this value, but before we adapted this value, it was given to the four-legged and the winged creatures. Why? Because they are the only ones still hanging on to the independence. The independence, people. You see, our people never ever gave the animals that chance of the validity of who we are. Instead, we're taking advantage of them by killing them, by putting leashes and muzzles on our animals, and we're confining them. Haven't we got away from that during the centuries when the white man imposed all these infractions against us? Yes, we have. And now we're doing it to the four-legged and the winged creatures. You see, many years ago, my mom once told me this. She said, if you ever take a bird of the earth and you put it in the cage, what bird will do to you will never be happening again when you isolate it, which is true. So in the mornings when the seasons change, Mom showed me this. She showed me this example when I was a young boy. The animals, especially the birds, they come back to show you the creation stories of how they sing for the new beginning of life, which is true. The animals give life, and in general, the birds sing for them to welcome that. So civilized and modern man, on the other hand, even we're going to go back into the times when kings and queens had their kingdoms in these castles. The castle was just a rock stone prison of incarceration. So being in that, you isolated the people's freedom. Well, these kings and queens did the same damn thing to these birds. And then one day this king got belligerently messed up out of hand. And when we refer back to the same thing with Oyate Ota was talking about, the independence, this king went completely hysterical and belligerent and ruined half of his people in his kingdom. And guess what? He knocked the cage down, and that bird miraculously took off and freed himself. And so now the king broke down. He cried around, bitching and complaining and hurt. And the next morning he arose and woke up to something so beautiful. That bird that he incarcerated in the tree, singing to him and welcoming, no matter what you did to me, I'm still going to recognize you, that you too need to free yourself as a king. And to this day, there's no more kings no more. You get what I'm saying? There's no more kingdom of those incarcerations. So now civilized man, which is the European people, known as the white race in America, in the continent of Turtle Island, they are the only race that are still troubled by their own existence, because deep inside their hearts, they're still in captivity. And with that, folks, I'll wheel it back to you, and thank you for allowing me to give that little impression on behalf of Oyate Ota. Because when you want independence, independence in your heart, all you have to do is wake it back up and get back to the basic necessity of what lives value. And that's the only way love's going to return. Back to you, folks, and to all you women.
Thank you for sharing that wonderful story. I loved it.
Is 253 to 214 Thin Margin in Pennsylvania and Nevada. Windsor Thin Margin in Florida.
I have a question. When Oyate were talking about these treaties and stuff like that, I always listen to all of that, because I know that there's treaties, yeah, and some tribes are using them for different reasons and what. But my question is, when is it really ever really going to happen where they can't take our children, they can't do anything like they can do, and go back to the home of us? Actually, we're talking about traditional. We go back to all of that, because I know that whenever this government stuff happens like this, it always puts our people in the crisis, because it is on the reservations already. It gets worse. You know, mostly is food. In the winter time, it's wood and stuff, because there is elders that still live way out there in the country area. I understand. Yeah, a lot of our people, they feel the same way on the reservation, and they talk about independence. A lot of them are independent, because they've been living out there like that, and they don't get a lot of money, but a lot of them still do things to make money, and it's not all about dealing drugs either. There's a lot of them that do other things other than anything like that. And so they know what it is. They feel it. On our reservation, not here, they're really feeling it. They understand. It's hard for the people, because we should all understand what Etta was talking about. That's why I like to listen and talk with her, because I don't know what she shared with you guys about how she speaks with the elderly, the medicine people doing, and how they felt about all of the stuff that's going on. And those things, I listen to that, because a lot of these ones that say they were raised with their old ones and stuff, and I say, well, okay, then you should know exactly what's going on then, if you say that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't. They don't. They just go out and just talk, but they're not really doing what they should be doing for the people. And I know Chinooka with the Strong Heart Warrior Society, I know they're doing for the people, because a lot of the elders are really thankful and grateful for anything that they can get today because of all the corruption and stuff, Those things that go beside you, they need to come back. And seriously, they need to come back.
Does anybody want to step in and answer some of Jenny's questions from the Blackfeet Nation of Montana? Anyone want to step in? Oyate, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I kind of lost the end part of that conversation there. But
One of the parts to her conversation she was mentioning is that she wanted to see the societies return, come back to the tribes. And I wanted to amplify on that, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, let me put this in this context here, Jenny, and I'm going to wheel it back to the other listening audience. You know, collectively, we have a cultural identity, and you're right. It needs to be returned. And what's really the difficult problem is that when we continue to talk about the racism, the racial discrimination, the xenophobia, all this other forms of unhealthy related behaviors, we are starting to adapt that tolerance for that. And here's why. We will never, ever blame the white race for these circumstantial issues that are stripping us from our own personal identity. And like Sister Leona has been, when you hear Sister Leona listen to people being abused, tortured, that offends her. At one time, you women all had that. That's why when Brother George Floyd called out for his mother, if his mother was still with him, them cops would not have a prayer, because his mother would have did something courageously to protect her son. We're not doing that. Same goes with fathers, okay? So when a system lacks that knowledge, there is no language that promotes a communication, right or wrong. That's right. So here we are, expressing this more on an open intent, because the only way warrior societies can ever return is you women have to ask the men to do the impossible undoing. I kid you not. I love my late grandmother Cecilia Martin, and I love my mother. I love my Aunt Pearl, and I love my oldest daughter Michelle, who left me. These women believed in the man they had. And I love my grandfather to death for all the knowledge and wisdom that he bestowed on me to serve all grandmas and grandpas and children in particular. The reason I stress that so much is because indigenous people have that right to promote their own existence of independence. And folks, we cannot do that. And when people like our Dene sister that came on board and was talking about it, she's right on two technicalities. All lives matter, no matter what color they are. That's number one. Number two, to answer that, we all need to put our people in front of us. They come first, and we come last. That's how you promote the reduction of disparities against any phase that is unhealthy within white superiority. White think, white education, white racism. We think and behave like white people now. Now we're acting just like them. Right or wrong, folks, that's right. That's the acknowledgement that we need to take a responsibility for ourselves on it. God damn it. It really is a present, you know, unhealthy predicament. And I get pumped just like my sister Leona does when it comes to, you know, judicial procedures. Those are unhealthy, necessary measures that are not provision to us. Remember, the great mystery and Mother Earth and all them animals out there, past and present, and even in current circumstances today, are telling us, when are we going to wake up and pick up independence so we don't need to continuously incarcerate our mind, our spirit, our physical understanding, and who we are. Folks, I will it back to you with that said, and I gave you that understanding to help promote that you women need to push our young men to get back into these societies that will protect and serve our people in the futures to come. Back to you, people.
Thank you, Chinupa. Just lightly on what you just got through saying there, I remember a time in the cities where they had the berets. Is that right? Am I right?
Yes.
Where they patrolled the streets of every city. And I thought back then that they did a fantastic job. And I don't know why they ever dissolved into society. But I believe that you're right. You know, people need to bring those back because they bring values. They bring virtues. They bring healthy behavior. They bring healthy conversation. We have to have good words to speak to each other. If we don't, that's their job, is to correct us. If things happen, that's their job. Society, the society's job to correct everybody. So I think that needs to come back too. I mean, that's my own personal opinion, because you look at how our reservations are. We've already picked up the dysfunction of lateral oppression. We're tearing down our own families. We're tearing down our own communities. You know, we're inviting drugs. We're inviting alcohol. We're not a healthy community anymore. So I think if they bring those societies back, that would help us in a lot of ways, because that's part of our tradition that's been lost over time. And back then, we had so much, they had so much to offer. I mean, because they were there to protect us. They were there to correct us. They were there to make sure that the society, the village, the tribe, they ran okay. They ran good. They helped our people. They helped our community. They helped our reservation. And you don't see that anymore. And I know that they have societies on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation, and I know I'm going to catch hell for saying this, but I think they're really dysfunctional. Because, again, you see nothing but lateral oppression, and that's not good. That doesn't belong there in those societies at all. And like I said, I'm going to catch hell for saying that, but you know, it has to be said.
And you other girls want to jump in on that question?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Bernice, which we kind of talked about, those concerns about those things all the time. And even for us to even live by our own understanding of our traditional education, we have to fix that too. You know? There's a lot of abuse.
That's right.
Them.
Yep.
A lot of misuse and abuse, and you know, they have to know their location and their creation story, you know, at least something of it, you know. But it also has to connect to who you came from yourself, you know, how they were, you know, in that status too, you know, which is your grandparents, mainly your grandmothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, you know, you got to think about it from the beginning, you know. They had to have that knowledge and story about everything that's going on, how they understood it, and you have to learn that. That's education. Mm-hmm. And then everything else that goes with it. So that's why with me, when, you know, I'll talk about the the religious, you know, the religion and stuff like that, I wasn't raised that way, you know, so... When people talk like that and they try to beat you up with Bible verses today, no, don't do that to me. Because, you know, I feel the world that we're in today, that's your only freedom, is to choose which, you know, path you want your spirit to go, you know. And, you know, they don't have they don't have your spirit. They can't buy your spirit, you know. But that's what the problem is how our people are using the money and stuff. They're not understanding. They're not understanding, you know, the stories of our people. Mm-hmm. And that's how I understand this world and what the more understanding of our traditional ways of stories and what that we're told. And if you actually were there, you would understand it too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the part about it is, you know, how it all happened, you know, you have to see the bigger picture of it, you know, you have to understand that part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, our people are rarely holding on to that, you know. So in order for it to work, we have to, you know, figure a way how do you stop it, you know, going on with our own people.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know it could be done because I've done it, you know, in one society that was doing that. Put a stop to it. Mm-hmm.
So that kind of brings me around to cultural exploitation. You know, we have all of these white people that are running Sundance and they're running Sweat, and you know, how does that affect us as a whole, as people? Because they're taking something that doesn't belong to them. They're taking something and they're practicing it like it's their own. And so I truly believe that we as a people, we're the ones that pay for all of that. Because whoever taught those people shouldn't have taught them. That's not their way. They shouldn't have did that. And then they turn around and they charge money for Sundance. They charge money for Sweat. They charge money for hauling rocks, putting up tree, the whole gamut. And it's always about money. It's always about exploitation. And when is our leaders going to stop, or our men, period? When are they going to stop teaching this to the non-Indian? Because now it's out of control.
You know, I'm going to jump in there, and I really like that question you brought out, Bernice. You know, many years ago, my grandfather did this, and I can only refer to him on that level, because one day a woman called this individual, and he was a pastor. He said, "You need to go see this Lorraine Cecilia Martin. She still holds a record in Rushville, Nebraska that has never been broken." So one of the local colleges in Nebraska, I think it was Southeastern College, Community College of Omaha, Nebraska, they sent this professor out to visit my grandmother. And he wanted some knowledges of why her record never been broken. My grandmother's record is still recorded in Rushville, Nebraska. Okay, my grandmother was a policewoman, and she took this target out at 257 yards out with a snub-nosed .32 pistol, one of them Ironside pistols. Okay, my grandmother still has that record; it's still recorded. I don't know why they never put it in the Guinness Books of World Records, that they should have, because my grandmother hold that. Now, this individual that came from the college was maneuvering on grandmother's answers. But grandmother didn't break the silence or the understanding to it. She said this, though. She said, "You know, I'm having a hard time on my reservation, so have you brought some type of monetary existence to help me and my family?" And he did. And back in them days, you know, shit, $1,500 was $1,500. That'll last you a long time, you know? So he gave it to grandmother. Grandpa, you know, grandma went and reached in her Indian pocket, which is her bra area, okay? That's what they call the Indian pocket. And she pulled out her coin first, put that money in there, folded it back up, and put it back in her Indian pocket. Okay? My grandma, love her. And here she said, to that professor, she said, "What was the question you were going to ask?" And she says, "Your record as a markswoman has never been broken." He said, "Can it be fixed?" So she said, "Yeah, it can be fixed." So he said, "Well, how?" So grandma said this, "Well, I'm going to be the one that has to break it. And I don't want to do that, because if it doesn't need to be fixed, we need to be leaving it alone." And just that remarkable understanding. That's true. Grandmother's record has never been broken, so there's nothing to be fixed. You get what I'm saying? That's a psychology. But, you know, he said, "I just gave you $1,500. I just answered your question. If it's not broken, there's no need to fix it." I mean, how stupid and arrogant do white people be? But that's just the way they are. That's their nature. Now, Sister Leona, how much time we got left?
We've got 11 more minutes left.
Okay. Folks, let me do this real quickly. Everyone that's on tonight's show, I encourage you to bring more people on. Our brothers and sisters from Diné country, Oyate Ota from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and many others, Sister Bernice, Jenny from Montana, all you guys need to get more people involved, and we need to bring this to light again, because even Sister Leona has some strong, you know, feedback and questions that she likes to contribute. Remember this: When it looks like an Indian and sounds like an Indian, it doesn't mean it's an Indian.
That's
and
right.
My grandfather once said this. When you remove a people from the people of the forest become unknown. And what becomes unknown, you want to destroy. That's what's happening to Indian people today. And so, in closing, I wanted to give you guys this song, and then I'm allow you guys to close the show on behalf of all indigenous people, because Jenny, Bernice, and many others that are listening, Oyate Ota and others that are calling in that couldn't get on, do you guys want Uncle John Yellowhorse to come on tonight's show for next week? Do you guys want Uncle
yes.
John to come on?
Yes, I
want
to hear
now,
him.
Uncle John is very extraordinary man, very brilliant. And Sister Leona, we want to bring one of our elders on next week, John Yellowhorse, Uncle John. Yes, I'm going to bring him on. He's, yes.
I wanted to let you know there were other people on. They dropped. There were two or three other calls that were on, and they dropped. I don't know if they dropped purposely or if it was radio show. But you had on tonight.
The ones that dropped, if they were still listening, please call me. Please call me. Call Chinupa. My phone number is 605-517-1547 or 605-517-2621. Either one, call me. And so I'm going to give this song to everybody, and I'm going to allow you women to close it. And hopefully some of the brothers and sisters that were from different states and different tribes can call me. And this is our song in closing. And we will welcome Uncle John next week. I really want him to come on. I'm glad I brought him up to say that. I'm going to get a hold of Uncle John and bring him up. So this is our song for tonight. Waka wichi lo yo, waka wichi lo yo, waka wichi lo yo, heya wa uwelo, aye yo hi yo, waka wichi lo yo, heya wa uwelo, aye ye he ho. Oh ya deki hey 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 hey, waka wichi lo yo, hey ya wa uwelo, aye yo hi yo, waka wichi lo yo, oh ya deki waka wichi lo yo, aye ye he ho, waka wichi lo. Waka wichi lo yo, aye yo hi yo. Waka wichi lo yo, hey ya wa uwelo, aye yo hi yo. Waka wichi lo yo, hey ya wa uwelo, aye ye he ho. Oh ya te ki. Waka wichi lo yo, hey ya wa uwelo, waka wichi lo yo, hey, oh ya te ki he, ni ya ke, waka wichi lo yo, aye, 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 hoi. Oh hey, ha hey, oh no, ki he, stato ki, 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 so with that, I share that with everybody that's listening tonight. And thank you all for coming on. And you ladies, wherever you want to close it off, go right ahead. I'm going to listen to you guys close the show down. Thank you for all for tuning in on tonight's Indigenous radio show on behalf of our sister, Leona. And let's give her a nice, you know, wow, you know, heartwarm, you know, thank you for a job well done promoting Indigenous, you know, existence and language on her show. Thank you all.
Thank you, Chinupa.
Well, thank you, Chinupa.
Thank you, Leona.
I find all of,
thank
all
you,
of what
Leona.
You're talking about is so interesting. I really enjoy listening. And again, you have so much to talk about that if you want to take on Friday and Saturday, I'd be glad to have you do it. Right now, I'm not doing much of anything. And people need to hear what you have to say. So you let me know, Chinupa.
Okay, well, let's try it again tomorrow night if that's the case. If you could do that, we'd be honored.
Okay, we'll set it up for tomorrow too, then, at the same time. And we have about
okay.
5 minutes left.
All right, girls, go ahead, man. Enjoy your closing. I'm listening too.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to all of the listening audience, wherever they may be. And I hope whoever knows me, whoever is listening, I hope that next time that you call in and be a participant. Go ahead, Jenny.
I'm just thankful for all of you. I really am, because, you know, I used to try to speak about these things amongst my own people and stuff, dealing with 7 years ago. A lot of things that were taking place that were basically the people weren't paying attention to. And now that we could speak about it, you know, people like us, we consider, you know, like we're crazy or something, you know, but we're not. We really are not. I know we have a hard time with that at times, you know, but I'm happy to hear people that understand things of themselves, you know.
Okay, well, I'll hear more people tomorrow. I hope we have more people tomorrow night, tomorrow evening, rather.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for allowing us to be on the program, and enjoy listening to everybody, and many blessings to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Etta.
Yeah, we need Etta to come back on tomorrow night too, and thank you all from Sanupa and the Strong Heart Warrior Society, and Mr. Keith Hyatt, man, if you're listening, boy, come on our show. I want to debate some issues with you, young man. You're never going to insult my women again. Thank you all. You guys all have a good evening. Enjoy it. I'll see you all tomorrow night.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, now
good night.
Have a good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Didn't they introduce themselves?